Brett, this is the podcast for the week of March 27th, so for next week. Hi, this is Kip Laxon. I welcome you to Faith Matters Today. And this podcast, we are focusing on the final words of Jesus from the cross, considering the fact that this is the cross that speak to us. It spoke then, it speaks now. And for the last few sessions, we have been looking at each of the different statements and phrases and comments that Jesus makes in his dying moments on the cross. And this week, as we approach Palm Sunday and Holy Week, I turn our attention toward the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, verses 44 through 49. And I'm using the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible in this reading. Hear these words from St. Luke 23. Verse 44 through 49. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their chests. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The phrase that comes to mind that we focus on from this passage from Luke's gospel is when Jesus breathes his last and says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." As far as the gospel accounts are concerned, these are the last words of Jesus from the cross. Now let's stop for a moment and reflect over these past few weeks. We have considered Jesus saying things like, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He said to the penitent thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He said to his mother, in reference to the Apostle John, "Here is your son." And then he says to the Apostle John, "Here is your mother," wanting John to take care of his mother during these dying days. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And now we come to this phrase, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." What should we make of these words? How might we better understand them? Well, the first thing is that the key to realize the meaning of this is that this saying from the cross is not a statement to someone or a question or a declaration. Rather, it's a prayer. Jesus' final moments are captured in this prayer from the cross. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." What a powerful prayer. What a powerful moment. Just take a second and let that settle in upon your heart, picturing Jesus being crucified and in these final moments as he's breathing his last, hanging on the cross, dying, he prays this prayer, giving himself over to God's care. And what exactly does he pray? What kind of prayer is this? "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Well, I want to focus for a few moments on the kind of prayer that Jesus is praying in his final breath. First, it's a prayer of comfort in death. Dr. William Barclay, the outstanding biblical scholar, writes about this and says, quote, "Jesus died with a prayer on his lips. That is Psalm 31:5, with one word added, the word Father. That verse was the prayer every Jewish mother taught her child to pray as the last thing they would say at night, just as we were taught maybe to say, 'This night I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep.' So the Jewish mother taught her child to say before the threatening dark came down, 'Into thy hands I commend my spirit.' Even on a cross, Jesus died like a child falling asleep in his father's arms. End of quote from Dr. Barclay. The words that Jesus prays, "Into your hands I commend my spirit," are a quote directly from Psalm 31. And this ancient Hebrew prayer was on his lips. One can imagine Mary teaching Jesus this prayer, just as so many Hebrew mothers taught their children to pray at night as they got ready for bed, ready to fall asleep. So Jesus, falling asleep, as it were, in his dying moments on the cross, reverts back to his childhood, and he adds that word, as Barclay points out, the word Father, this intimate word of relationship that Jesus uses so often, and teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and forever." This prayer, this Our Father prayer, this is what Jesus is doing on the cross of Christ, on his cross, when he prays this final prayer. And in praying this prayer from his own childhood, Jesus demonstrates the confidence to place himself at this moment of his death into the eternal care of God. It's a prayer of comfort in his dying moments. Jesus, in his final moments on this earthly journey, he didn't speak large theological words. He did not engage in a philosophical debate. Rather, he uttered the words of the first prayer he probably ever learned as a small Hebrew child. This is what gave great comfort to his soul in these last moments. These words were a testimony to what life was all about. He began life with God, and now he completes his earthly journey with God, giving himself over to God's eternal care, a prayer of comfort. Jesus saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." It was also a prayer of communion with God. First, a prayer of comfort in death, and second, a prayer of communion with God. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. shared in his book entitled The Strength to Love about how he moved from believing things about God to actually believing in God. He wrote, "The agonizing moments through which I've passed during the last few years have also drawn me closer to God. More than ever before, I'm convinced of the reality of a personal God. True, I've always believed in the personality of God, but in the past, the idea of a personal God was little more than a metaphysical category that I found theologically and philosophically satisfying. Now it is a living reality that has been validated in the experiences of everyday life. God has been profoundly real to me in recent years. In the midst of lonely days and dreary nights, I have heard an inner voice saying, 'Lo, I will be with you.'" And King continues, "When the chains of fear and the manacles of frustration have all been stymied by efforts, I have felt the power of God transforming the fatigue of despair into the buoyancy of hope. I'm convinced that the universe is under the control of a loving purpose, and that in the struggle for righteousness, man has cosmic companionship." End of this quotation from Dr. King's book. Man, humankind, has cosmic companionship. In this prayer of Jesus, of giving himself over to God's eternal care, we see that it's a prayer of Jesus' own personal communion with God the Father. The intimacy between Christ and his Creator is nowhere made more clear than in this dying moment of Jesus. He commends himself, his spirit, over to God's care. And this is evidenced and a living testimony in his dying moments of his own personal communion with God. a prayer of communion with God, a recognition of this cosmic companionship that Martin Luther King calls it in such beautiful words. We all need to know that cosmic companionship. And like Martin Luther King, we often have concepts of God that fill the void in our life or answer the eternal questions or help us deal with the tragedies and traumas of everyday living, the reality of God. But something else is required of us, a deep inner awareness that God is with us, even now. This is what Jesus is bearing witness to. This is what he is testifying to in his dying breath on the cross. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. But one last thing I'll say about this prayer that Jesus prays. This psalm is on Jesus' lips as he breathes his last breath, a prayer of confidence that this was not the end. Now think about what we're saying. It was a prayer of comfort in death. Into your hands I give my spirit. It was a prayer of communion with God. He adds the word Father to that psalm to make it more intimate, the communion more real, more personable, more palpable. And then it's also a prayer of confidence that this was not the end. Now, where do we see that? It's in the word commend. Father, into your hands I commend. The Greek word for commend used here literally means to save or to keep for another time. Jesus, in these words, seems to be placing his spirit into the eternal care of God, his soul, the spiritual essence of himself, into God's eternal care with the confidence that it would be saved for another time, that this was not the end, that there was more yet to come. Was he alluding to his resurrection that would happen just in 2 or 3 days from that Good Friday to that Easter Sunday when he commends to save to another time, that this would be then realized in greater fullness when Christ was raised to new life on that first Easter? I have to believe so. I have to believe that Jesus knew that this was not the end. If anything, this was but the beginning. And as the crowds gathered and gawked at him hanging there on the cross, they thought this was the end of Jesus of Nazareth. But when Jesus says those words, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, he didn't just say, I give my spirit over to you. He actually uses this powerful word that means that you're going to take this, my life, and you're going to use it for something more, something bigger, something better, to save for another time. Several years ago, there was a relic that surfaced at an auction in Paris. On May the 12th, 1993, 2 slivers of an olive tree that were said to have come from the cross of Christ were sold for more than $18,000 in this crowded auction. The bidding started at $1,858 and was completed in just 90 seconds when a woman in the front row offered $18,587 for these 2 slivers, just splinters really, of what were said to be wood from the original cross that Christ was crucified upon. Accompanying these 2 slivers of wood were 2 certificates from the Vatican that apparently authenticated this wood that dated back to 1855. Not the wood itself, but the actual certificates had been given by the Vatican in 1855, testifying to the veracity of the claim that this wood, these slivers of wood, came from the actual cross of which Christ was crucified. Now, while I certainly understand and respect the ancient practice of venerating holy relics, and down through Christian history, there's been quite a quest to find these holy relics. And these are just one example of untold thousands of relics around the world that are said to be connected either to Christ or to the early apostles or to the early church. But I must insist that, you know, we have not studied and prayed and worshiped our way through these past through few weeks of Lent through the dying words of Jesus from the cross for two slivers of an olive tree that may or may not be authentic. We have traveled together and are traveling together through this Lenten season to deepen our relationship with God and to see how God in Christ has fully entered into the human experience. We have worshiped to draw closer to the Christ of the cross, not a piece of wood. And while I'm certainly not making fun of that or dismissing it out of hand, I do want to make a greater point here that following Jesus is not just about owning or having pieces of wood that may or may not be from the cross of Christ, but our relationship is not about a piece of wood, but is about the person of Christ himself. The words that Jesus uttered from the cross that can penetrate the gloom and the darkness of our lives is because of the person himself, Jesus of Nazareth, who died upon the cross for you and me to show us the radical love of God in his self-sacrifice. It is the person of Jesus Christ that we look to. I don't expect to ever own a holy relic like that. I couldn't afford it, and I wouldn't pay for it if I could afford it, I don't think. And really, it's not that important to me. I find it intriguing. I find it interesting from a historical point of view. But my daily living is not based on a holy relic that I can put under glass and look at from time to time. But my relationship to God is based upon the person of Jesus Christ that has changed and transformed my life and continues to do that on a daily basis. And the prayers that I pray, if they could approximate even in a close measure the prayer that Jesus prayed upon the cross this Lenten season, would call upon all of us to at least try to pray the same way that Jesus prayed. We all need to pray prayers that would bring comfort to us in the reality of our finitude when loved ones and friends pass away. In those moments when we bear witness to our faith, we are joining our spirit with the spirit of Jesus who prayed for comfort in his dying hours. We need to pray for a deeper reality of communion with God. We need to find that cosmic companionship on a daily, ongoing basis. And we need to know in our prayers that there is the confidence that this is not the end. And while our days will come to an end in this earthly life, our very spiritual essence, the soul of who we are, created in the image of God, will be saved for another time. Just like Jesus prayed, "I commend my spirit into your hands, knowing that you will save this, me, for another time, for something greater." For Jesus, it was the resurrection. And for us, in that phrase, in the Apostles' Creed, that builds the parameters of our faith, that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, that I know that this is not the end. My life, well lived for Christ on this earth, will be saved for another time. And I firmly believe that there will come a time when God's kingdom will come upon the earth and we will be resurrected to life everlasting. So our prayers that we pray now, as simple and sometimes as self-centered as they are a part of something greater. We are part of something greater than ourselves. And we can pray with the confidence that this is not the end. Jesus prayed, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And we could pray no worse from time to time in our struggles when we say, "God, I need to place my life into your hands." And I don't have to wait until my hour of death to do that. I can do that in the days of my living on a regular basis. I place myself into your hands, O God. Maybe that's the prayer that you need to pray today. Maybe you need more confidence in your living. Maybe you need to step back and see the big picture and realize that you're a part of something greater. This is not the end. And that we can have that kind of communion, that companionship, that friendship, that relationship with the living God. And how does that happen? Jesus shows us the key. He gives us the key. It is when we place ourselves into God's hands and leave the rest with Him. So today, as we continue Lent together, let's place our hands, let's place ourselves, our very being, all that we are, into God's care. We place ourselves into your hands, O God. I thank you for joining me for this Lenten devotional in this podcast. And as I do so often, I encourage you to pass it along to friends and family. You never know what seed of encouragement you may give someone, what hope may be generated because of what we have shared together. I thank Brett Smith and Ed Temple for helping me make this podcast possible. And I encourage you to worship with us either in person or online during this holy season of Lent and the glories of Easter at Muncie Memorial United Methodist Church here in Johnson City, Tennessee. Next week will be Holy Week, and we will also delve a little deeper into those powerful words that Jesus uttered from the cross on that glorious first Good Friday. It is finished. I look forward to joining you next week. God bless you.